the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I'm so glad to have you join us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido, Denise Beyer, and in production, Jeff Blackwell and Karen Cotton. Hey, everyone.
Hey.
Morning.
It's a wet one. But it's still beautiful.
That's what that is.
That's what that is.
Okay.
On it. That's what it is. It's all that.
You haven't had a chance
sunshine.
To forget.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes. Y'all have standing
it's
water.
It's not letting
in my
us
backyard.
Forget it either.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Just, I'm going to digress for a minute. You know, we have a retired greyhound.
Oh, yeah.
And when you have a few inches of standing water and your dog gets a little crazy in them and runs laps in your yard.
Oh, my
goodness.
It's
an interesting situation.
rain,
go away is what I'm saying.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, let's start with a prayer on that one, okay?
Yes.
We used to have a greyhound, too, so I had a good visual of what you were saying. So we'll come before the Lord as we begin this hour. And Lord, we just lift up our hearts and all of our day to you as we start our day. And we thank you for the sunshine that's coming and the liquid sunshine and the rain that you give us today to water the flowers and to just refresh us. But Lord, we pray for just the right amount, Lord, that you never give more than we can handle. And we pray, oh God, creator and redeemer, you are the author of being and life. Inspire in us a spirit of praise that we may give you glory in everything we think and say and do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So praise
Amen.
The Lord.
I love that. In everything we think, say, and do.
And say.
Mm-mm. Praise the Lord. There you go.
There you go.
Wonderful. Our saint of the day is Saint Leopold Mandich, so we'll learn more about our saint later on in today's show. Denise Beyer will give us her take on today's gospel. We're always looking forward to that. Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald will give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue, and it's a really good one, so I can't wait for Peter's segment. Deacon Ricky Supreme, he joins us every year with St. John of the Cross in Lacombe to talk about the Holy Spirit Novena. They did it last year. COVID didn't stop them. COVID's not stopping them this year,
yes.
So I'm excited to talk about this. A jam-packed and awesome lineup, and you can watch it on Facebook. It was just announced, so I'm excited to talk about this.
Oh, wow. That's
great. So we'll be able to see that. Adam Bly with his book, The Catholic Guide to Miracles, Separating the Authentic from the Counterfeit. Alicia, this is going
to
be such a great interview we're going
to
have.
Yes.
This one's going to be great. I'm always interested in stuff like this, but Jeff, I don't know about what Baton Rouge is doing right now, but last night was crazy weather.
It's Garth Brooksen out there. The thunder rolls, baby.
Oh, sure.
And it's going to be that way pretty much most of the day. In fact, we have a flash flood watch through midday. Showers and thunderstorms today, ending tonight, later tonight. Cloudy tomorrow, but highs in the mid to upper 70s, the low around 62 degrees, so it's going to be somewhat pleasant, temperature-wise, but the clouds will move out. And Gabby, that weather you ordered for a beautiful weekend, it looks like it's on time. It'll be here like Thursday, Friday, and
so
Saturday, and Sunday. Yay, Gabby! And it's going to be mild. Presently, right now, we have 70 degrees across the board in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Houma, Gulfport, and rain for the day all along the Gulf Coast.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you so much, Jeff. We have your gospel and gospel reflection from Jimmy Sagers and Denise Beyer right after the break. It's 7:05 on Wake Up.
A Good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
The abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, makes alive in us Jesus's classic paradox that overturns all earthly social values and preconceptions. He who is the greatest among you shall be your servant. Within its sublime explosiveness, this declaration gives us a glimpse of God's own nature. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but empties himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. This paradox radically sabotages any definitions of power or authority that would divorce it from love and compassion. Power and love is one and the same thing in God, and therefore they must overflow in the behavior of Jesus' disciples. The Holy Spirit teaches us to model God's mercy, which is exhibited in loving others, and especially by serving the needy. Otherwise, we cannot claim to be Christians. We must become like Jesus, where the highest becomes the lowest out of love. He who is our King reigns by serving. Therefore, the offering of us to God in Christ, as well as our sacrificial service to others, becomes the preeminent act of worship in the priesthood of the laity. Then, heaping paradox upon paradox, the Holy Spirit helps us understand and embrace Jesus' second statement. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And so, for a Christian, the way down is the only way up. There is, of course, no virtue in groveling, nor any virtue in humiliations for its own sake. Rather, the divine person of love teaches us that love is the heart of the Christian life, and love always seeks the lowest place for itself because it puts others first and gravitates to where it is most needed, to the dejected, the down and out. And so, let our prayer be, come, Holy Spirit, and remake me. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Come, Holy Spirit, and remake me. Beautiful. Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for this morning's Gospel and Gospel Reflection. I'm Alicia Quibido with Denise Beyer, Gabby Smith, and in production, Karen Cotton and Jeff Blackwell. It's 7:10. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. Denise, that was a beautiful reflection and beautiful Gospel reading this morning.
It was, and I really loved the way Jimmy ended it. Like, as you said, come Holy Spirit and remake me. Because what stood out to me is really the very beginning. Maybe because things are seem to be moving fast and changing, but where Jesus, and that's what was happening at this time with the disciples. Jesus was preparing them. He was going to his crucifixion, but he was saying, I'll send the Holy Spirit, so don't be afraid, because he's going to lead you and guide you, just as I've been. But he says, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now.
Wow.
You cannot bear it now. And there's a tendency, I think, I know sometimes, a lot of times with me and all of us, you know, we want to run ahead and what's coming? What do I have to do? You know, we look at all the information coming into us. And it made me really stop with that. He goes on, he says, because the Holy Spirit will guide you to truth, and he will declare to you what's coming. And what's coming is the grace, and his presence is what I feel. Not that we need to know the future.
Right.
So are we bearing the things of today? We don't have tomorrow the grace yet, but are we bearing the things of today in the power of the Holy Spirit, or are we trying to bear it on our own? And there's a beautiful quote in the very beginning of St. Faustina's diary that has always caught me and kept me remembering this, because she writes, "When I look into the future, I am frightened. But why plunge into the future? Only the present moment is precious to me, as the future may never enter my soul at all." And that's, if we can grasp that, not that we don't plan our lives, but that we don't run ahead trying to figure out the future and looking at the burdens, because Jesus says you won't be able to bear that now.
Oh, yes.
And it made me think, and, see what comes to your mind. But I remember, like, for instance, the grace is there when you need it. And receiving a phone call from my son saying my grandson had been kicked in the back by a horse.
My.
And he was being airlifted to the hospital in Baton Rouge. And he was in intensive care with a ruptured spleen and lacerated kidney. And I felt at that moment, you know, he said, "Mom, pray, just pray." And that was the first things out of his mouth. And so the Spirit was moving. He was uniting us together to pray and bringing us together as a family. So when we need the grace to carry a burden, the Holy Spirit will guide us and declare to us what we need. And that grace floods in. And he gives us the grace, you know, of strength, I think of unity, of family, of coming together, of bringing other people into our into the burden with us.
Right.
And it's the Holy Spirit, you know, he gives us what we need in the moment when we need it. And we don't need to run ahead.
How's your grandson? We got to find out.
I know, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, look. Let me finish that story. Yeah. He's great. That was when he was like 6, and now he's graduating tonight from Our Lady of Mercy. So God is good.
Good.
But we wouldn't be able to bear everything in life if we ran ahead of the Lord. Stay with him in the moment, the Holy Spirit will guide us.
Ooh, that's such a great reminder. Amen. Thank you so much, Denise. I love that reminder. We always get so caught up in the details and get way ahead of ourselves. Hang back and come, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's 7:15 on Wake Up. We'll be back after the break with our Saint of the Day.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 12th. Today we celebrate Saint Leopold Mandich. Leopold's dream to work for dialogue with Orthodox Christians was never realized, but the cause of unity was constantly in his prayers. Born in Croatia in 1887, he joined the Capuchin Franciscans and was ordained several years later in spite of several health problems. He suffered from severe arthritis, poor eyesight, and a stomach ailment. He could not speak loudly enough to preach publicly. Spending most of his life in Padua, Italy, Leopold is best known for his work in the confessional, where he sometimes spent 13 to 15 hours a day. Bishops were known to seek his spiritual advice. Leopold's health did not permit him to travel to the East to work among Orthodox Christians, but the following words he often repeated kept him focused on God's task for him. "Remember that you have been sent for the salvation of people, not because of your own merits, since it is the Lord Jesus and not you who died for the salvation of souls. I must cooperate with the divine goodness of our Lord who has deigned to choose me." Leopold died in 1942 and was canonized 40 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:18 on Wake Up. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Denise Beyer, Alicia Quibido, and our wonderful production crew, Jeff Blackwell, and Karen Cotton. And become a Coffee Club member today with just a donation of $1 a day. For $30 a month, you'll get a stainless steel dosage tumbler, a bumper sticker with our radio frequency, and a 2021 membership sticker. You can visit ccradio.live for details. Just click on the donate button, you'll see it, and everything's on there. If you have any problems, message us on Facebook or on our website, and we'll make sure to get that information to you. And our summer drive time is coming up Tuesday, June 1st through Thursday, June 3rd. We rely on listener donations during our drive time, and we will have guests every hour to help us raise money and continue to bring the gospel message to you. So save those dates coming up Tuesday, June 1st through Thursday, June 3rd, just around the corner. And follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Catholic Community Radio, and on Twitter at LA Catholic Radio. So lots of ways to connect with Catholic Community Radio whenever you're on your social media checking your stuff. All right, You guys, let's get to the Clarion Herald. We have Peter Finney joining us. He'll give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, good morning, Gabby. It's not raining.
Oh, really? Oh.
Oh, wonderful. Great.
Just wait, Peter.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Peter, this is such a fascinating and fun issue. And I want to start off with the five men to be ordained on May 22nd as transitional deacons. So tell us a little bit about them.
Yes. And just as way of explanation, transitional deacons, that's the final step before ordination to the priesthood. You're ordained as a transitional deacon, and you are then permitted to give a homily, to preach God's word, to proclaim God's word in the gospel, and also to preside at weddings and also to do funerals. But they use this year as a kind of a training tool again as they move toward priesthood. And this year, five men, four of them will be serving in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and one is being ordained for his hometown diocese in Kororo, Uganda. The four guys for New Orleans are Lennon Arroyo, Jody DiMaggio, Jeffrey Merritt, and Andy Gonzalez. And then the diaconate ordinand from Africa, from Uganda, is Joseph Odongo. All great guys. And we have little profiles on each of the men talking about their faith life and how really each of it's fascinating because he took a different journey to a religious vocation, and it's really fascinating to read, and they're all excited. This will be on May 22nd, Saturday, May 22nd at St. Louis Cathedral at 10 o'clock, and they will be ordained to the transitional diaconate.
Wow, that is just around the corner. Yeah.
It is. The Vigil of Pentecost, what a special time.
Absolutely.
That's
wow,
right.
That'll be great to witness as well. Let's talk about this next story, how parishes are preparing to welcome people back to Mass come June 6th.
Yes, and Father Niall Gross, who is the director of the Office of Worship for the Archdiocese, he has, over the last year and a half, really, he's fielded calls from parishes about this very this unique situation of the pandemic and how in the early days when public Mass was essentially shut down. And then, as you remember, the guidelines kept changing, and so more people could go, but it was still limited. So he had to answer a lot of questions about that. Of course, on June the 6th, on the weekend of the Feast of Corpus Christi, Archbishop Amon has restored the obligation to attend Mass. And Father Niall goes into detail about, what does the obligation mean? It's not an obligation you must do, but it's really our response to all that God has done for us. And he said, as good as the live streaming of Mass is for people, to watch the Mass, they've not been able to go to church, he said, really to be in church with the community of believers is an essential part of fully participating in Mass and receiving the body of Christ. And he talks about all the different things that have gone on and the decisions made about how to receive communion and things like that. And it's a very good read because he talks about all the things that parishes have gone to. And parishes are going to be very smart. They're going to follow all guidelines that are, put in place by the state and or by the local, the governing authority. So they want people to feel safe returning and to have that community of worship, put back together again.
Yes.
And that'll
be
on June the 6th.
Wow. Well, big day as well. Let's talk about this story. A De La Salle teacher. You know, I'm going to let you take this away, Peter. What's this about?
Why? Oh, it's an incredible story. John Charles, a great math and physics teacher at De La Salle, tragically, his only child, a 40-year-old daughter who lives in Maryland, she was found murdered in her home. And this was back in early March. Her estranged husband, unfortunately, has been charged with first-degree murder and will be going on trial later this year for her killing. But John, you can imagine your only child, 1,000 miles away, murdered in her home. He said the De La Salle community has been so wonderful to him, rallying around him, supporting him. He's a math teacher, so he used the analogy. People say, "Man, I can't believe you're standing up straight, upright." He says, "Well, if you had 360 degrees of support, there's no way you could fall down." And that's his Catholic faith, and the people around him have really, pumped him up and kept him straight. The school did something very interesting. That the kids, they raised money, donations. They got bedding and linens to donate to the New Orleans Women's and Children's Shelter. It's kind of a shelter for homeless families. Mm-hmm. And they did it in his name and in the name of his daughter, Lauren. The interesting thing is, at that shelter is a development director, Melissa Tyler. She happens to be Lauren Charles's best friend for 26 years. The school didn't even know anything about it. She is the best friend of the girl who was murdered in her home. And it's an incredible story. And John Charles just talks about De La Salle reaching out to him and just embracing him and keeping him upright.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about the kids section. Kids Clarion, you have a cute story about second graders and birds. Tell us about this.
If you can remember back to Katrina, for months after Katrina, the birds were gone. There were no birds. And really, some songbirds have never really returned in big numbers to New Orleans. The Academy of the Sacred Heart, the second graders, researched the ones that are not back, and they built actually bird houses and nesting spots for the different ones that are struggling to come back. And so they're hoping that it's going to help bring some of these songbirds back to New Orleans. So it's a teaching experience, and they learn how to actually make the birdhouses themselves. And so it's a great little thing about what they're doing in school.
Wow.
Oh, man. Academy of the Sacred Heart is surrounded by such beautiful trees and greenery. So what a perfect place to have these bird homes. I love it. Okay, let's talk about your Good Business Matters section we can find in this week's issue.
Yes, we reach out to businesses that want to talk about their ethics of their own good business practices, and they talk about what they do to serve customers, not only to be profitable, but also just to serve people and what makes them good ethical businesses. And so there's 11 or 12 businesses themselves who talk about what the services they offer and then what makes them ethical businesses. And it's a really good read for people to understand the background of why you make business decisions and things like that.
Wow, wonderful. Okay, Peter, we have a couple of minutes left. So what is your favorite story and which one should we take a look at this week?
Well, there's another little story. The two Jesuit high school students, one's a graduating senior, Brett Steele, and the other's a junior, Dylan Bracey. They were one of the four grand prize winners in the New Orleans Science and Engineering Fair, and their project was creating a baby car alarm. As you know, tragically, all the children who are left behind accidentally by their parents in a hot car and then who die of heat stroke. And so Brett and Dylan got together. They thought about, what can we do to help solve this problem? And they developed a car alarm that with a camera and an infrared sensors around the the car that can detect movement. And if the car reaches a certain temperature, all kind of alarms and iPhone alerts go off.
Wow!
And the device is so incredible that they got to pitch it at this international science and engineering fair, and they're going to find out in about 8 or 9 days, whether they win. If they win, get this, it's a $50,000 first prize, whoa, and they've already got this device patented. They hope to actually put this thing into production.
Oh, wow. That's so amazing.
I when I was in high school, I think I was worried about past, you know, how do I spell this word, you know, and get the light bulb and stuff.
Wow.
It's incredible. So that's congratulations amazing to them, and hopefully they go on to win, you know.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. They need to pitch that to Tesla. They need to start doing that. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that's the problem. A lot of the manufacturers are starting to maybe think about doing this at manufacturing, have it already in. But this device can fit into any car and kind of like as a retrofitted and put into any car currently on the road. So that's what makes this different.
That's beautiful.
Wonderful.
Wow, that's a great story.
That's great.
I love
that's
that.
But pretty smart. I mean,
kidding.
It's one for me.
Yes.
I love it. Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald. Where can we pick up a copy of this week's issue?
You can get it at church this weekend, or every page of every issue is on electronic form on the website right now, clarionherald.org.
Wow, wonderful. Thank you so much, Peter, for joining us. So when we come back from the break, Deacon Ricky Suprin with St. John of the Cross on Lacombe talks about the Holy Spirit Novena coming up. It's 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Corleone continues teaching in the public square about public leaders and their embrace of abortion and precisely how that is incompatible with Catholic faith. Fox News over the weekend and now with the Daily Caller, the prelate tells how he has already had conversations with conflicted politicians and how he would prudently address situations proactively to avoid scandal over the Eucharist. Bishop Robert Vasa of Santa Rosa is supporting the Archbishop and is explaining the need for conflicted politicians to open their hearts to God's converting grace. Lila Rose is connecting the interests and actions of big tech and big abortion. Her pro-life activism at Live Action gives her a front row seat. On the life issue, tech giant fact checkers include active abortionists. This is Life News Radio. News at Life News Radio should make you think, and often it should make you think about calling your elected officials in Washington, D.C. So remember this phone number, 202-224-3121. Let your senators, your representatives, hear from you. 202-224-3121. In other stories, its 2020 census tells how China is growing old and increasingly male after decades of oppressive population control measures, including forced abortions. Abortions number 13 million annually. The Daily Mail checked in with UC Irvine sociology professor Wang Feng, who says China's population cannot sustain itself. And the myth that abortions are essential medical care for women is being taken apart by a peer-reviewed study from Charlotte Lozier Institute, who says that abortion fails to work the way experts claim. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
It is 7:35 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for joining us on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido, Denise Beyer, and in production, Jeff Blackwell and Karen Cotton. And to take a look at the Clarion Herald and its wonderful stories you can find in the back of churches in the Archdiocese of New Orleans and read more stories at clarionherald.org. I posted the link in the comments section for today's Facebook Live video. And we're continuing in the Archdiocese of New Orleans and taking it over to St. John of the Cross in Lacombe, where we have Deacon Ricky Suprin. There we go. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit Novena 2021. Good morning, Deacon Ricky.
Good morning, Gabby and the gang.
Good morning.
Just kind of mushed your name together there, but that's I'm good. So glad we're talking. We're having this wonderful Holy Spirit Novena once again, and I can't wait for you to talk about it, so tell us about it.
Well, the most recent development, we weren't going to be able to live stream it on the YouTube because now they require 1,000 subscribers, and sometimes God hides things from you. And my son, Kai, and his girlfriend, Sarah, were over for Mother's Day, and they said, well, why don't you put it on Facebook? And nobody thought of that. It seems like such an obvious thing. So we tested it yesterday. We got 50 views unannounced for daily mass. And now, if people go to the Facebook search window and type in St. John of the Cross Catholic Church and click enter, they'll be able to see the Holy Spirit Novena each night beginning Friday. 6:30, it'll come on with the praise and worship. And mass starts at 7. And the people who cannot be here, so many people can't drive at night, older parishioners, older people, people on the South Shore, people around the world now, could actually be part of the Holy Spirit Novena. We are so thankful to God that He revealed this to us, but sometimes the most simplest answer, you know, He just holds it back just to prove that it's Him that is taking care of the entire. It's His novena, and He provides all we need. So I think that's the moral to the story.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this lineup. So first of all, this starts on May 14th, so in just a couple of days, and runs through May 22nd. But wow, starting off, Father Sidney speaks. You can't get any better than that, I think.
This is our fourth straight year where Father Sidney's going to be opening night. The only year he wasn't opening night was when the Archbishop, Archbishop Amon, was opening night, the original first year that we did the Holy Spirit Novena. And, of course, with him is his sidekicks, Jamie DiLiberto and Tongues of Fire. People don't realize, I guess, how excited the priest and the music ministers get. Father Sidney is so pumped up about being back. And last night, Jamie DiLiberto and Tongues of Fire sent me a picture of them rehearsing. Everybody's getting geared up. Everybody's on fire. The anticipation is outstanding.
That's great. Wow. Okay, so Father Sidney speaks Friday, May 14th. It's just in a couple of days. Tell us the rest of your lineup, because this is this is great.
We have our former pastor, Father Gil Martin, coming back, along with Donna Guidry and the Sacred Heart Choir, the other Catholic Church in Lacombe. Father Gil has had phenomenal teachings throughout the 5 years of the Holy Spirit Novena. God reveals things to him while he's sleeping, and he told me a month ago he was ready to go, that God had given him everything he needs to talk about. But the teachings that he has brought to us through the Holy Spirit, it's just been amazing. And then on Sunday, a young priest, I think he's not even been a priest for 2 years yet, Father Damien Zablocki, along with John Finch, who is part of the Vigil Project, who, as a solo artist and with the Vigil Project, is just an outstanding Catholic musician, songwriter, incredible voice. That's going to be a special night. We have Our Lady of Guadalupe night on Monday, May 17th, with Father Tony Rigoli. And he's bringing Steve Lee and the Our Lady of Guadalupe Choir. So if you can't make it to Rampart, come to Lacombe, and you'll see what everybody gets to experience every week at Our Lady of Guadalupe. Incredible choir. And, of course, Father Tony Rigoli is always on fire with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Tuesday, we got Father Mark Beard. Same type of thing. We have St. Helena night, because Father Mark Beard is going to be bringing Dan Keen and his St. Helena choir with him. And so if you can't make it to a meet to experience the incredible celebration of the Mass there, come Tuesday night, May 18th. In fact, Dan Keen is so excited. He's already been in our church twice just to make sure everything's going to be perfectly set up, sound quality. And it was very interesting when he came here on Monday. He has checked out the other praise and worship groups, and he's really into music, right? So, Jeff, you'd appreciate this. He goes, man, I checked out these other groups on YouTube, and, man, you got some tight groups coming. I said, yes, sir. That's all we need. You got a tight group yourself. But anyway, it is so much to be offered here between the Mass, the Eucharist, the incredible homilies by these powerful priests, the praise and worship people, unreal. And then Wednesday night, we got the newly appointed pastor of Our Lady of the Lake, Father Doug Bush, and he'll have Colin McIver with him, who is a one-man band. And if he don't get you up off your feet, nobody will. Tremendous praise and worship leader. And since we got such an incredible lineup, we didn't want to slack on Thursday night, so we kind of went to the top on Thursday. The Holy Spirit once again sent us to Archbishop Gregory Amon. And Kitty Cleveland will be leading us in praise and worship that night. It just keeps getting better and better. And on Friday, that's the big night with the healing. Last year, despite to COVID. We had 84 people inside because of the 25% restriction last year, which was a blessing, mm-hmm. because when God told me, why can't you have the Holy Spirit novena, mm-hmm. it was allowed 10 people in church. So we had 84 mm-hmm. people in church. But when I went outside to give communion that night, there was 150 people wow. outside of church wow. watching on a big screen TV, waiting their turn to come in and be prayed mm-hmm. over by Father Anthony Odon, mm-hmm. who was a powerhouse. And the mm-hmm. Vigil Project will be there that night. The Boudreaux's, John Finch, and we're not sure if there's going to be anybody coming from out of town that night, but they are doing an awesome job around the hemisphere and with the Archdiocese in New Orleans. Their music is being tied into the year of St. Joseph mm-hmm. and the year of the Eucharist. And then on Saturday night, our pastor, Father Tuan Pham, is going to be with our choir, Vince Adamina, and the St. John of the Cross Choir, who really rises to the occasion. They'll be together on the final night, May 22nd, the vigil of Pentecost. And beautiful. We need yeah. the Holy Spirit. It seems like every year I say the same thing, but we need the Holy Spirit now more than ever.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And our, from Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus tells the apostles, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon mm-hmm. you. And we need mm-hmm. that power right now mm-hmm. to guide us through these crazy times, difficult yeah. times, unsure times. And there is a middle coming that mm-hmm. our church fathers talked about. And it's not Jesus coming, because he's only going to come at the end when he comes back again. But it is a combination of the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And there's this middle coming to kind of get us through the next 1,000 years to when Jesus will be coming for the final time. And we're praying that this may be the beginning of that middle coming, this Pentecost 2021, because we need to be set on fire now more than ever.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And Deacon Ricky, you have opportunities for confession available every night at 6:30, so check this out.
That is one of us. the great secrets. I'm so glad you said that, Gabby. The pastor of Sacred Heart, Father Thomas Kilsaris, he mm-hmm. comes, this is his fifth year. He is an incredible confessor. Mm-hmm. And he comes for 5 years, and he hears confession every night from 6:30 to 7. Mm-hmm. And he brings such peace, such hope, such forgiveness. He brings God's divine love and mercy to people. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, he has agreed to come back again to hear confessions. And if, again, God takes care of everything. This year, I don't think it's a coincidence that we've been opened up again, and you can come to church. We don't have as many restrictions. If there's an overflow, either the priest that night that's celebrating Mass or our mm-hmm. pastor, Father Tuan, will be also hearing confessions. Before the mm-hmm. pandemic craziness, we used to have 3 stations every night. We had so many people coming. So if we have to add priests each night, we will. But we definitely have Father Thomas to start it off and see how many people come.
Yes.
There will be indoor seating, outdoor seating again. Bring your lawn chairs. We'll also have some chairs. We've got tents set up outside, and you can watch on the big screen TV outside if you feel safer being outside.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Deacon Ricky Suprian. I have everything in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video at 7:45.
12 minutes until 8 o'clock here on Catholic Community Radio. I kind of jumped the gun there on Karen.
I saw that.
Yeah, and she fusses at Alicia. Doing the same thing.
I'm making notes.
Got a hand slap. For you watching on the radio, you didn't know what we're talking about. But yeah, I'm supposed to wait until this graphic whooshes, and then I start talking, but I'm all right.
You just excited to tell us about the weather.
7:48. I am, yeah. We're looking at the National Radar. We're showing that we have a huge area of rain, which are going to cover the Gulf Coast pretty much most of the day. So we'll have some thunderstorms rolling through, showers ending tonight, and then cloudy tomorrow. However, today's and tomorrow's high are going to be in the mid to upper 70s, the overnight low at 62. We're at 70 degrees right now along the Gulf Coast. All stations reporting in, it's 70 degrees and cloudy and some sprinkles and what have you. But that weather that Gabby ordered, yeah.
It's coming.
It will be delivered on time. It's going to be a gorgeous
sun
weekend.
It is coming.
Gabby Smith joins us in New Orleans. Orleans. We've got Denise Byers joining us from Homa Thibodeau. And in the control room, that's Karen Cotton over there. I'm Jeff Blackwell here. And in Studio A, Alicia Quibido.
I am here. And I am so fascinated with our next guest and his book. Adam Bly joins us. He is the author of The Catholic Guide to Miracles, Separating the Authentic from the Counterfeit. Adam is a certified consultant for exorcists in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. He's an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists. He has spent decades studying and experienced the supernatural, and his faith and all of his experiences help him to give us this detailed book about miracles and what they mean to us. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Alicia. How are you?
Good morning. Great. Thank you. Well, I have just been fascinated with, you have a wonderful video series that is out, it's a few months old, that I have been just poring over, listening to those. But I can't wait till your book comes out. I love hearing about the many miracles that our Lord provides for us. So let's jump in and tell us what inspired you to write The Catholic Guide to Miracles.
Well, in the work that I've been doing over the years, I've also been asked to look into a few purported miracles, you know, people that had come forward and claiming to have these experiences. And then, in addition, I had seen just through my journeys and meeting a lot of special people and a lot of special priests, I had seen a few miracles myself. And more importantly, I was interested in writing a book that would encourage people in their own conversion and their own considering of the reality of God. Because, you know, I had seen a lot of the preternatural and seen a lot of the work in exorcism and had written about that to try to encourage people to stay away from trouble. Yeah. And I thought it was also really important, as opposed to, you know, warning about certain things, to point out that the other side of the coin, of course, is present and much more important than the enemy is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. We hear about miracles and the first one in the that we hear of with Jesus and the wedding at Cana and the water, you know, when Jesus turns the water into wine. And tell us what the importance of miracles are in our faith journey.
Well, I think it's the same as in the time of Jesus, where, you know, a lot of what got people talking and considering who Jesus was were the extraordinary things that he did. You know, he certainly taught a lot of wonderful things, but there was many rabbis and teachers that would teach the law to the Jews at the time. But a big thing that was different is that he was doing miracles, he was healing people, he was commanding evil spirits out of people. Mm-hmm. And these were the things that got everybody talking and reacting. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, he acknowledged this and spoke on it a number of times, you know, the people that seek a sign versus those who have faith without it. Mm-hmm. So it's part of how God shows that the hand of God is moving in the world. You know, yes. Jesus, even that comment, you know, if you see these things, you know, the hand of God is moving. That's right. So really they're there as a sign for the world to draw us into conversion, into considering that there's a reality to the spiritual world, that God is real, prayer, you know, works, God is attentive and present. All of these things is I think, the ultimate purpose for the miracles.
Yes. Now, Adam, in your book, you talk about the history of miracles in the Old and New Testaments, but you also talk about some true stories of miracles in our time. Can you tell us about that?
Well, sure. There's, I think, some of the most exciting ones are the ongoing Eucharistic miracles that we see, you know, even up to our current time, even the liquefying of the host that happens every year over in Italy. Mm-hmm. There's been a number of them that have been studied by cardiologists and experts, you know, from the secular world on heart tissue, and a lot of consistencies. And I think those, because they point not only to the reality of God, but they point to the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist in a very special and particular way that we understand as Catholics. But I think sometimes, you know, even with that survey, last year that some large percentage of Catholics no longer believe in the real presence. I think it's important for Catholics, for Christians, for non-Christians to consider the Eucharistic miracles because they are so validated, by experts outside of the church, and they're so striking. So yes. I think, you know, out of all the miracles, those and healings are probably the two that are the easiest to look at in our time.
Yes. I'm so fascinated with Eucharistic miracles. You know, it's a mystery that we believe, but we can't see. You know, it's just one of those wonderful mysteries of our faith. I had been to Florence a couple times and stood outside waiting for this one church to open so that I just wanted to see the Eucharistic miracles there. Just an amazing gift that we're given just to keep us believing and keep us as seeing, because, you know, as Thomas, I didn't see unless I could see and touch. I don't believe, right? So it's nice for us to have those miracles that we can count on. We are visiting this morning with Adam Bly. He has a book coming out called The Catholic Guide to Miracles: Separating the Authentic from the Counterfeit. Adam, can you talk just a minute about the apparitions of Mary?
Well, sure. Apparitions of Mary have been numerous, more than 500 of them reported around the world, but only a handful have been kind of validated and approved by the church. So they're fairly common experiences in the history of the church and the world since the time of Jesus. But the few that have been validated, great fruits have come from those. Yes. Of course, you know, the famous secrets of Fatima, you know, different messages that are given to the people that experience these visions, and they're often some that are secret and some that are for the world and some that are personal.
Yes.
But it kind of represents a special way that Jesus sends his mother Mary to kind of guide and counsel the world. But also the church is very cautious about, you know, declaring these valid, especially when they're still ongoing, because they want to look at the entire life of the person in the situation. So they're potentially really important kind of points where God enters the world in a particular way through Mary and speaks to us. But we want to be really careful about giving the church the time to discern the valid from the invalid, because there are some that are deceptions also.
Adam Bly, I wish we had more time to talk to you. Sophia Institute Press, you can pre-order Adam's book now. Gabby will link it in the comment section, and that release date is May 25th. Thank you so much for joining us, Adam. Denise, you want to lead us out with prayer?
Yes, Lord, we just thank you for this hour and the many just riches that you've poured out upon us about miracles and the things happening in our area and the novena to the Holy Spirit. Lord, continue to bless everyone that's watching this, listening to this program, and draw more of us to you. We ask this through the heart of Mary in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.